Welcome to the First Church Orlando podcast. Here you will find recordings of weekly sermons, devotions, interviews, and seminar recordings from the First United Methodist Church of Orlando. For more information about First Church Orlando, please visit our website at firstchurchorlando.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Our scripture lesson for today comes from the Gospel of John, the 21st chapter. Hear these words. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't do well with interruptions. Do you? That was your moment to interrupt. Oh, you missed it. Interruptions, they mess up your schedule. You wake up in the morning and you think your day is going to go a certain way and it veers off course. Sometimes it can be something like someone interrupting you when you're speaking. So they can chime in with their thoughts or their response and you haven't even finished talking yet. Sometimes these interruptions can distract you and then you forget, what was it I was doing again? These interruptions, they're annoying. They happen to us every day, almost every day. Some interruptions, and hopefully these are much fewer, are more major. You take the car into the shop, and bad news, it's going to cost way more than you expected it to. Or you get a phone call giving you bad news of a health diagnosis or a death. Other types of interruptions may take the form of life change or relational change, job loss, moving, divorce. Sometimes interruptions can be helpful. When I was a little girl, I would go to Missouri to visit my grandparents, and my grandparents had cable television, and we did not. My parents did not want to pay for it. So knowing that I was going to my grandparents' house and they had cable television, I like saved up and wanted to watch as much TV as possible when I got to my grandparents. And so I would camp out in the recliner for hours and watch Nickelodeon or Disney or some other movies that were on cable TV. And my grandmother would come into the room and she would wisely stand between me and the television, interrupting my viewing. And I would try to be like, "Granny, can you move just to the right or to the left just a little bit?" And Granny would then, she would have in her hands a plate of chocolate chip cookies and some lemonade. She was interrupting my hours of binge-watching television with an opportunity for connection and a snack. That was a good interruption, even if I didn't think so at the time. Sometimes interruptions can give a different perspective. They can remind you, oh, what's really important. They can be an opportunity for connection with a loved one, or even just a moment with a random stranger, or the opportunity to offer a random act of kindness, or to maybe receive a random act of kindness. But at the end of the day, it's okay if you still find interruptions to be mostly annoying. For the Sundays after Easter, we have been lingering with the good news of the resurrection by reading stories of resurrection encounters. Theologian N.T. Wright says, "The resurrection of Jesus is not an absurd event within the old world, but the symbol and starting point of the new world. Jesus of Nazareth ushers in not simply a new religious possibility, not simply a new ethic or a new way of salvation, but a new creation. The resurrection interrupts the old world with the hope and reality of new creation." In these encounters with the risen Christ, we see that there's this tension between that old world and new world. Death and resurrection. Fear and peace. Doubt and assurance. The familiar and the comfortable with the unknown and uncomfortable. In John's gospel, Jesus first appears to Mary Magdalene at the empty tomb on that first Easter morning. And later that same day, Jesus appears to the disciples, minus Thomas, when they were in that locked room. A week later, Jesus appears again to the disciples, and this time Thomas, in that locked room. But after that, at some point, after Jesus appears to the disciples and Thomas, the disciples then disperse. They're filled with the good news that Jesus rose from the dead, and Jesus appeared to them, offering them peace. But what does that really mean for their everyday lives? What does this peace really mean for them? Jesus seems to be coming and going, and they don't know where Jesus will appear next or if Jesus will again appear. And so what are the disciples to do? Where are they to go? Is there still a mission for them? And if so, how are they to go about carrying out that mission in this world? So the disciples, they return to their families, to their responsibilities, to their livelihoods. The disciples that were in Jerusalem, the ones that lived up north in Galilee, they return to Galilee. They go back to their quote-unquote normal lives, even though they had changed and the world had changed. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, James, John, and two other unnamed disciples. Don't you hate that? Like, come on, you got all the other names. Why not put those other ones in there? I would hate to be unnamed for, you know, centuries. But that's the way it goes sometimes. This group of disciples, they go fishing. They return to what is known and comfortable. They know how to put out a boat. They know how to cast nets. In light of this new reality and the change that Jesus' resurrection has brought to them, maybe these familiar tasks are reassuring. Maybe they can find some peace in the known and in the familiar. Or maybe they just don't know what to do next. If this Jesus movement is to continue, what are they really supposed to do? Maybe they're waiting for Jesus to appear and to give them instructions. And if you're a fisher person, what do you do while you're waiting? Well, we could go fishing. We have time on our hands. They fish all night and they catch nothing. They make their way back to shore just after daybreak. And they see a person, a man, standing on the beach. And scripture tells us that it's Jesus, but that they didn't know who it was. And so as they come closer to shore, this person on the beach calls out to them, "Hey, did you catch any fish?" Which is probably the worst question you could ask a fisher person if they caught nothing. They're like, "Please don't ask," right? Why did you have to ask us that? And it's a stranger. So it's like at this point, we don't even know who's asking us, but we're really ashamed and embarrassed, and we don't want to admit. Our nets are empty. We failed. The stranger then tells them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." If it were me and if I were one of those disciples, the last thing I would want to do is try again. These disciples, they've been up all night. They're tired, probably hungry. They're ready. They've kind of already made up their minds. Like, we caught nothing. We're going to have to go back to shore, clean our nets, go about our day. So for this stranger to tell us to cast our nets again, it's an interruption. It's not what they had planned. And yet they do not seem to argue or offer excuses. They cast their net again, and this time they're not able to haul it in because there are so many fish in the net. And with this miraculous event, with this miraculous abundance, the disciple whom Jesus loved — don't you love that title? Aren't we all the disciples whom Jesus loved? Anyway, the disciple who Jesus loved says, "It's the Lord. It's Jesus, the risen Christ." In this resurrection encounter, Jesus seeks out these disciples on a boat in the Sea of Galilee, in the middle of their ordinary everyday lives. Jesus interrupts their weariness and disappointment and scarcity. Jesus interrupts them with a blessing that is more than they could hope for or expect. But this interruption isn't the first time that Jesus has interrupted. Jesus' ministry prior to his death was all about interruptions. Jesus interrupted these disciples' lives when he first called them to follow him. In all four of the Gospels, we get stories of how Jesus called these disciples. And in Luke's Gospel, we get another fishing story with this call. Simon, Andrew, James, and John had been fishing all night long, and they didn't catch anything. And so their boats were at the shore, and they were mending their nets and cleaning their nets when Jesus comes along, and there's a crowd that wants to hear Jesus teach. And so Jesus climbs into one of their boats. Jesus commandeers one of their boats and says, "Take it out a little bit so I can teach the crowd." And so they do. And then when Jesus is finished teaching, he tells Peter, "Hey, take the boat out a little deeper and cast your net again." Simon Peter's nets were filled almost to the breaking point. And so Simon kind of motions for his partners, James and John, to take out another boat and to help him bring in all of that catch. And it's when they return to shore with their boats filled to overflowing that these guys left everything to follow Jesus. At that point in time, they didn't know what Jesus would do or what his ministry would entail. They're intrigued. They're intrigued by his invitation to follow. And they're intrigued by maybe that invitation to go deeper, to try again. Father Richard Rohr says, "We are made for transcendence and endless horizons. But our small ego usually gets in the way until we become aware of its petty preoccupations and eventually seek a deeper truth. It is like mining for a diamond. We must dig deep. And many seem reluctant, even afraid to do so. Jesus called those first disciples and invited them to go deeper. Jesus interrupts the shallowness of our lives by calling us to go out a little deeper, to put ourselves out a little further, to try again. Jesus interrupts the status quo by touching the unclean, healing the sick, eating with sinners, and associating with dubious people, people like tax collectors and fishermen and women. Jesus interrupts the normal categories in society. As Rachel Held Evans writes, Jesus identifies the poor as blessed and the rich as needy. And then he goes and ministers to them both. The rich and poor, the blessed and the needy. Jesus interrupts the idea that the Savior cannot, must not suffer when he sets his face to Jerusalem and chooses death on a cross. And then Jesus interrupts death when he rose from the grave. The empty grave offers the fullness of new creation. Jesus offers the promise of eternal life. But Jesus also says that life in this world will not be without troubles. In this life, there is both death and resurrection. There is both sorrow and joy, emptiness and plenty. Father Richard Rohr offers, faith is not, first of all, for overcoming obstacles. It is for experiencing them all the way through. Jesus' resurrection offers the hope of new life and new creation, not just for Jesus, but for all people. And T. Wright says, hope is what you get when you suddenly realize that a different worldview is possible, a worldview in which the rich, the powerful, and the unscrupulous do not, after all, have the last word. The same worldview shift that is demanded by the resurrection of Jesus is the shift that will enable us to transform the world. I think when he's talking about a worldview shift, I think it's an interruption in our thinking. It's calling us to think again, to think in a new way. The resurrection interrupts the ways of this world and invites us to participate with God in making earth look a lot more like heaven. To interrupt the ways of this world with the ways of the kingdom of God. So back to our original scripture passage. This interruption of the disciples as they were fishing on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus interrupting the disciples as they came back in. It's a callback to all of these other interruptions that Jesus had done throughout his ministry. This post-resurrection interruption, it's an invitation for these disciples to once again follow Christ. It's an invitation to go deeper. It's an invitation to receive blessing, to receive abundance. It's an invitation to persevere, to keep trying. And it's ultimately an invitation to transform the world. This interruption, this early morning encounter with Jesus on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, the disciples may not have been able to predict that that is when and where Jesus would have appeared to them next. But I think that that interruption is just what the disciples were waiting for when they decided to go fishing that morning. So what are you waiting for? How is the risen Christ interrupting you, your life, your worldview, your plans? How could these Christ interruptions offer you new creation and abundance, an opportunity to follow Jesus and to go deeper? Let us pray. As we begin our prayer, I offer this blessing written by Jan Richardson, entitled Seen for Easter Day. You had not imagined that something so empty could fill you to overflowing. And now you carry the knowledge like an awful treasure, or like a child that curls itself within your heart. How the emptiness will bear forth a new world. You cannot fathom, but on whose edge you stand. So why do you linger? You have seen, and so you are already blessed. You have been seen, and so you are the blessing. There is no other word you need. There is simply to go and tell. There is simply to begin. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you interrupt our lives with your presence and with your grace. God, open our eyes to see your presence all around us. Give us the courage to respond to your invitations, to follow you, to go deeper, to be blessed and to bless. Give us the courage to keep on trying, to keep on persevering, trusting in your goodness and in your grace. It's in the name of the risen Christ we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast and that you will listen again in the future. If you enjoyed today's message, we hope you'll subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform and share it with others on social media. For more information about First Church Orlando, please visit our website at firstchurchorlando.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If this podcast is a valuable resource to you, we invite you to give to this ministry by making a financial contribution at firstchurchorlando.org/give. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.